life, man, and it's going to be no sin, no tears, no sorrow, no death. We're going to get changed. We're going to have a new name, a new body. We got all that stuff. I understand all that. And so, and we believe it, or at least we say we do. We're looking ahead right there. But where we struggle is where is God right now? Where is the present God? Is all of a sudden like God was just a mighty God back in Moses' day, in Joshua's day, and then boy, God's, we got the greatness of God, and the Lord's going to come, and we're going to rapture up out of here when, at rapture, and then millennial reign and all that, and then we got heaven and all that, you know, all that, that's the great God there, we know about him, but right here, God's kind of like neutral, he's done through the gear shifter up in neutral, we're just drifting along, floating along on idle, God's not doing anything, I mean, God can't do anything. You know, we're not expecting anything, huh? Boy, if you saw, I mean, a couple of burning bushes and a couple of parted seas, I mean, you'd be coming to church saying, man, I can't wait to see what God's going to do today. I mean, you know, what's he going to do? So we've got this right now. Look, we need to say, listen, I'm not saying any of those physical things, but there are physical things. It's a physical thing on an internal physical thing. Listen, God's dealing with men. I mean, he's dealing with this. Listen, the things that can happen. I believe our face could shine. We have a tendency to believe nothing supernatural. That's another thing. When I came along, man, the old Independence, boy, we didn't want to talk about the Holy Spirit. We didn't preach about the Holy Spirit. We afraid somebody think we was a charismatic. If we got excited about anything, we set their little sour look on our face, man. You know, might have. I mean, it was just nothing. But listen, salvation is a supernatural event. Salvation is supernatural. When you get saved, that's supernatural. It's a supernatural thing. I'm going to tell you, this is what I believe. I mean, I believe there's still a burning bush of some kind. There's still something that's going to cause us to turn aside to see God. It may not be an actual physical bush, but there is a type, in type, a burning bush that we turn aside to see and we find out something about God. And I'll tell you this, holy ground still exists. He told Joshua, I'll show you in a minute, and he told Joshua that same thing that he told Moses at the burning bush. He said, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. Man, there's still holy ground that is existent today. And so here we have God Almighty, the eternal God who never changes. And his purpose for the world has not changed. Redemption. Our redemption, man, the redemption of lost people, that's the purpose in the world today for God. And like I say, his method of still working through people today, he's still, that's the method. That hasn't changed. God works through people. He said, Joshua, I'm going to be with you. Why did Joshua need God to be with him? Because he's going to use Joshua for his purpose. That's why was he with Moses, because he was using Moses for his purpose. That still hasn't changed. It's all the same way. A.W. Tozer said we practice kind of a temporary atheism when we don't believe God's doing anything right now in the present tense God. That's why the present God, or the present tense God, if you wanted to, I could have worded it that way, that we don't believe God's doing anything now. You know, that's really a type of atheism or temporary atheism. We believed he did it in the past. We believe he's going to do it in the future, but God isn't doing nothing like that now. No, he'd be doing that if some people would turn aside to see the burning bush. If people would spend some time alone with God, if they'd spend some quality amount of time. Try 40 days. Try 40 days in the Word of God, in the presence of God. I mean, go ahead, just knock off. Take your vacation, man. Go 40 days, man. Take a whole month and 10 days and just get in the presence of God every day. And I'm going to tell you what, it'll be a change in your life. I believe it if you really were looking for that. Moses, he didn't know. He just went down there and saw it and turned off. And so, you know, we feel like, and we see this, we feel like we're living alone in the universe and God is nowhere around. How about this when you pray? We look up to heaven, God, like God's way off there somewhere. He ain't there, We were talking about Brother Moore was back here last week. He mentioned this sometime in our Sunday school class, I think. Mentioned it yesterday, by the way. Lord, be with us. What a stupid prayer for a Christian to pray. Where's he living? He right inside, Lord. If he's not, if you lost, it would be a good prayer. But be with us. He's already in me. He's already can't get any closer than that. But that's our subconscious mind thinking that God's. We had a testimony in here from somebody here just a few weeks ago. I just feel like God. I just don't know where God's at. I don't hear from God. I don't know where God is. I feel like God's left me, abandoned me, whatever. Listen, we should never feel that way if we're saved. That God, you know, like we're listening. But as we're living between what God did and what God's going to do in the future, and we're living right here, you know, we're looking at what God's doing now, and we don't think, and maybe you can't see anything. But you know, in a lot of people's lives, really, what's changed in your life? You know, what's changed in your life? Listen, here we are, right? I say this a lot. We came to church today, all right? So you got up. Well, we come to church. We usually come on Sunday. We got Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night services. We come to church, and you know, this is what we're going to. We got our religion. Use that term in that sense. We got our religion. We've got our songs. We've got our prayer time. That we got our designated punch in the time clock time that we give to God, and then the punch out time too. Unfortunately, we've got that, and yet, secretly, in our subconscious, we think God is like a million miles away somewhere, not doing anything right now, certainly not doing anything with me, our life, you know, me personally, you, life, distant, uninvolved. Joshua needed to know, and maybe that's why God, I don't know what Joshua was thinking. I just know he had some big shoes to fill, and he was probably thinking about that. And God said, listen, as I was with Moses, the same way I'm going to be with you. I don't believe it ended there. I believe the same way. God will be with us the same way. In verse 1, like I say, he spoke to Joshua. You know one thing I'm glad about this? I mean, a lot of people, and I've asked people sometimes, well, give me a testimony. What's God doing in your life? Well, preacher, you know, I remembered, boy, 40 years ago, man, I went down the aisle and I gave my heart to God. Well, okay, 40 years ago. What happened yesterday? And boy, when you ask for that testimony, listen right here. Oh, you're making too much noise. What do you hear? Nothing, right? Crickets. Yeah, that's it. That's what happened yesterday. What happened last week? What did God do last month? What has God done with you? But I go home and I'm reading my Bible about what happened back with Joshua in his day, back with Moses in his day. What did God do in your time? What has God done? And I'm glad that when I had my relationship, when I got saved, that wasn't the end of that deal. I mean, that God kept... Now listen, I'm a slow learner. That God kept dealing with me, and God kept speaking to me, and God kept, you know, I kept growing in grace, and I kept understanding more about God. And listen, it was up and down, man. It looked like the stock market. If you had a graph on it, man, that thing was up and down all over the place. And the down times was when I wasn't looking and when I wasn't seeking. I wasn't trying to find out. And the up times was when I was in the presence of God for any amount of time. I mean, there's a difference there. And so listen, you know, I'm glad that God doesn't just speak to us one time, and there's some other times I looked and I was thinking about Joshua because I knew about this verse already from studying the Word of God. But right over in chapter 5, now chapter 1's already happened, right? Chapter 1's happened. He said, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. But chapter 5 in verse 13, it said, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Look what he said. He said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And he said, the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Same thing he told Moses, right? He said, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. And guess what he got on that holy ground experience right there? But you know what I like about that? Now that, from studying the Word of God and the fact that Joshua worshipped him, if that had been an angel, he'd have stopped him dead in his tracks, say, no, don't worship me. That is the pre-incarnate Christ that is standing there talking to him that day. And Joshua said this. He said, well, whose side are you on? But look what he said. He's got that word nay right there. The Lord of hosts said nay. He said, and see, let me read it to you because I'll get it messed up if I do it by my memory. He said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. That's what he said to him right there. You know what he's really saying? Joshua said, well, whose side are you on? He said, I'm going to tell you something. Let me give you the old Daniel Boone commentary version of what he said. He said, I'm not on either one of you's side. The question is, whose side are you on? Huh? That's really what he's saying. I'm the captain of the Lord of the hosts, the army of the Lord of the hosts. I'm the captain of it. And it isn't like, whose side am I on? Whose side are you on? Yeah, that's the real question right there that he asked. And listen, he'd already had an experience with God. And now he had this experience with God, and he was on holy ground. It was something more, is what I'm really trying to get you to see. There's something else, you know. It doesn't end, man. This is what we want in our life, man, just contact after contact. I mean, you know, this is what it's all about. He said, you're on holy ground. We need, and we need to realize, and maybe Joshua needed to realize that at the moment, that it's a present tense God. The present God right now. Same God. Same God. God's, listen, his purpose isn't finished. He's still working, right? He's still saving people. He's still using men and women for his glory. The same God, I don't think it ended with when he said that I will be the same way with you, Joshua, as I was with Moses. It didn't stop there either. I think he's still with his people today. And so we, as God's people, we need to realize this present tense God. What's your experience with God? Now, you look back at the men and women in the Bible that realized it. We just looked at Joshua. They heard God speak. God spoke to them somehow. They interacted with God. In other words, they had a personal relationship with God. They sensed, listen, do you ever sense God when you pray, his presence when you pray? We should, every time. They sensed his presence. They knew God. They felt God. They felt God in their midst. Man, I just thought about that. Think about Paul and Silas. Why do you think they were singing down in a dungeon after they'd been beaten and thrown into jail? They were singing down in a dungeon because they felt the present God. Huh? I mean, there was God in the midst, man. They were full of God. The three Hebrew children cast into the fiery furnace. I believe that they were aware of God's presence before they got chucked in there. I believe that with all my heart. Elisha knew it. When his servant said, Master, what shall we do? He looked out the window and saw the enemy all around. And Elisha said, Lord, open it. He didn't even look. I don't even think he looked out the window. He said, Lord, just open his eyes and let him see. And he looked out there and he saw the chariots of God, man, fire, chariots of fire all around. Why was he so confident? He already knew. He felt the presence of God. The present tense God. He wasn't looking back at the history. Well, you know, God delivered everybody way back in those days. You know, before his time, he said, well, God delivered him. I don't know what he's going to do now. And I know that the future of Israel and all that, man, he wasn't worried about that. The present God. And then the second thing I want to talk to you about, and I said I didn't get my outline alliterated, genuine experience. How do you know? Let me ask you this. Most of us all went to school, probably. I don't even know what they teach in school nowadays, but if you're old enough to know, remember when we went to school. How do we know George Washington? I read about it in a history book, right? I don't think he really chopped cherry tree down, but I'm just saying. We know George Washington because we read about George Washington, the historical George Washington. We read about him in the history books. First president of the United States, all this thing. How do you know God? Is that the only way you know him? Do you only know God from... Now listen, I got to say this carefully because I don't want to look disrespectful this is the Word of God. This is the living Word. It's the Word of God. And we can know God... We can have knowledge of God. Let me word it that way so I can differentiate. We can have knowledge of God through the Word of God. An atheist can read the Bible and find out everything that the Bible has to say about God. If he's intelligent, if he retains knowledge, he'll say, this is what the Bible says about God. Doesn't mean he believes it, but he knows. Satan knows more about God than we know. I mean, Satan knows the Word of God. Okay, so we can read the Bible and we can get knowledge of who God is, but do you only know God from what the Bible says about God? There's people, that's all they know. And I'm afraid that a lot of people only know God by what they've read and studied. Now, the Bible tells us to study, show yourself proven unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. We're told to do that. We should study the word of God, but our knowledge has to be, it would be like going to college to be an engineer or a brain surgeon or whatever, and getting out of college and never operating on a brain or never designing or building a building. If we learned all that and had all that knowledge and never used it. So if we know what we know from the Word of God, if that's all we know about God, but we never put into practical use that knowledge or have a relationship or never actually meet the living Christ living in our heart, having that, if we can read about a person in a book that lives on the other side of the United States and we know all about him, know when he was born, know when he died, or well, he wouldn't have been dead. If we know when he was born, what he does for a living, what color is his favorite color, what kind of music and all, we can know all about him like fans do with movie stars and all that. They know all about him. They all in love with him and everything else, and they don't know, all they know about what they read about in the paper. It's not the same as having the relationship and going and meeting the person in person, huh? And spending time with the person and get to know what their thoughts and their feelings and their, you know, where their heart's at and all that. And so if all we have to do, all we know about God and is mental, you know, head knowledge, and we don't have a personal relationship, something's missing. There's something missing. It's not the same. And this explains, I think, of the lack of conviction that Christians have about the work of God, like doing things, you know, work of God, especially it, the lack of enthusiasm and evangelism. Like, you know, if you know, man, you know that Jesus raised from the dead, and you know that Jesus is living in your heart, and you want to tell somebody about it, about being saved and about knowing God, and it's in you, when something's in your heart, you get pretty excited about it, don't you? Hey, but when you don't really believe it, I'm going to tell you what, you'll never convince me. Huh? You'll never convince somebody that's lost. And that's why I think that evangelism's not as effective as it could be, should be. Has. I mean, it's not because, you know what, you're trying to convince somebody of something that you hadn't experienced yourself. And I'm saying the proverbial you. Don't say, well, you know, I did. I mean, I know that. Some of you, not everybody. I'm just saying people are doing that. How many never had a burning bush experience? How many never had a mountaintop experience? How many never had a holy ground encounter with God? How can you love a God that you only know from a book? How can you love a God that you only know from a book? God is a living God, not a history lesson. He's a living God, and nothing takes the place of the touch from God. Nothing takes that place. We can't substitute theological ideas for an encounter with God. We can fill our heads with theology and still think in our hearts that no one's there. That no one's there. And without a genuine encounter with God, a relationship with God, our religion, if you use that term, like say, I think Brother Ed pointed out last week, it's got a different meaning today than it did in the old days. It's only a shadow. It's only a shadow of what it should be, could be. Listen, the people that experienced God's presence, had a personal encounter with God, it kind of had some steps to it. The very first thing that happened, there was fear. Huh? Boy, when Joshua saw that guy with his sword drawn out, and when he said he's on holy ground, there was some fear, which turned into awe. They were all, he was awed. People were awed by the presence of God. And then it turned into a peace and a comfort and a nearness to God that they desired that, they wanted that. That's where we have to get to. Can't, there's people, boy, there's people in church, they are afraid of God. They have a fear, and there is a reverential fear, but they have a fear of God. And then you kind of move to that awe of God, that awesomeness, seeing the awesomeness of God, to that, man, that comfort of being in the presence of God. I'd like, boy, if Jesus was walking around, he raised a couple people from the dead, I'd have been sticking to him like glue, man. I mean, boy, nothing could happen to you. Boy, stick with Jesus, man. I mean, it would have been something else. When these people prayed, they knew they were addressing someone who was actually there. They weren't talking to God like he's a million miles away. They were talking to God like he's here. That's how we talk to God. That's how we should talk to God. Last little point, I'll hurry up. The continuing purpose. God hadn't separated himself from his creation. He's still got his purpose. He's still in the saving business. If you ever have time, I'll give you a little lesson. You go into Genesis chapter 1 when God was making the earth, and it said the earth was void and without form. And then it said that he moved, the Spirit moved upon the face of the deep. There was darkness upon the face of the deep, but the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. That's how God moves on man today. Boy, he moves without form and void, or void of emptiness of being lost, and then the darkness of being lost, and then God moves upon that and let there be light, and it opens up your heart. There's a whole lot of stuff you can look at there. But that same God from Genesis, the same God in Joshua, the same God all the way up through the Bible is still moving today. The purpose is our salvation. And then listen, God's not done there. Don't think that the whole purpose. When God's done with, when we are saved, it's just the beginning. Man, the growth and grace and love, and man, the power of God, and that God can fill us and use us, and we're his representatives here on earth. And man, there's a lot there. Boy, I mean, this is what God's, he's not done at salvation. Never think that. There's still more. As he was with Moses and Joshua, he will be with us today. Listen, here's the thing. God himself is life. I love those verses. He who hath the Son hath life, and he who hath not the Son hath not life. Amen. It don't get any more cut and dry than that. And listen, God doesn't give eternal life as a separate thing. Get this straight. God doesn't give us eternal life as a separate thing. He gives us himself. He is the gift of eternal life. He himself. He gives us himself. See, sometimes you look at it like that, like God standing back. Well, I'm going to give you eternal life. Here you go. Here's your eternal life. Uh-uh. No, he is eternal life. He is life. He gives us himself, his very self. All of himself. So we need to quit viewing God historically, futuristically, and generally with a broad view, but we need to view God personally, as present God, the present God. And then instead of him being God, he becomes my God, my God. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe God spoke to your heart today.